As you may have known if you've been here for the last couple of years, that we have been blessed with a group of volunteers and getting to be a part of an event, not just every year, but it happens continually, with several of the foster children here in Marion County. And at this time, I'm going to ask Ben Elizabeth Ward to come up, and today we're going to hear some testimonies and share some about God's work within the hearts of several young people here. And I'm sure it's not just the young people, but the people who are volunteer it changed their hearts. So can we welcome Ben Elizabeth, because they lead the Royal Family Kids Camp.
Good morning. So the first thing I wanted to do is just kind of give you guys like an overview of this year's camp, giving you just kind of like all of the statistics and everything. And then I asked some of our volunteers to share this morning, so you don't have to hear just from me. We took 44 abused and neglected children to camp this year. That was quite phenomenal, and to be honest with you, we could have taken a lot more. Children's Services and Amanda were in very close connection, and we did have to actually turn down some kids this year, so that was a little heartbreaking on our end, but we know that God had a plan for everyone who was going to be there and everyone who was there. So I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I want to share this story with you because it was very meaningful. We had a day, we had set, here's our staff, here's our counselors, here's our kids. We got a call from Children's Services, and they said, we have three kids that we really want to make sure make it to camp. Can you make that happen? And so Amanda and I were like, okay, let's make it happen. So we went back to our list. We took some kids off, and if you've ever seen, there's a movie called Camp the Movie, and it is based on Royal Family Kids, and I told Ben, it's not like the movie. Well, I did not get a call from someone who said, I would like to be a counselor now. So I was like, well, that really stinks. Wouldn't you know, seriously, the very next day, I got a text from one of my staff members who said, you know, if you needed me to be, I would be a counselor. And then I said, would your wife? So two of my staff people who already had a dedicated role said, will be counselors, and we were able to still take those other kids that we tick off the list to camp. So God does work miracles. Sometimes it does work like the movie, so that was really awesome. So 44 kids, 24 counselors. So our counselors spend every moment except for the dedicated breaks that we give them with the kids. So I had 24 counselors that took all of my kids to camp. 28 full-time staff people. Something I was going to do and I forgot to do. If you were a counselor, Justin Yoder, Kelly Crosby is in the back with the preschoolers, but can you stand up? So Justin was one of our counselors. Justin took two boys who really, really looked up to him, and it's super cute to see some of the relationships that form with our counselors and the kids. It was awesome. Oh, Jose was also a counselor. And Lisa actually had a new role this year, new-ish. What we were doing was put a full-time counselor in the cabin, but we actually gave her no kids. So she was just an extra adult in a cabin who did the exact same job as a counselor but didn't have her own kids. Part of the reason we had to do that, so I did have this one written down. I love to tell stories. It makes it a little more real. We had a little girl who has been to camp 2 years prior, and when Amanda was in touch with Children's Services, so Amanda is our child placement coordinator, which means she is in contact with Children's Services constantly, having conversations with them about the kids, who can we take, getting applications, things like that. So Amanda sends them a list. Here are all the kids that we've taken in the past, and here's who we'd like to have back. Can you get us, you know, they tell us then, well, these kids are still involved, these kids are not, whatever. So there's a little girl, and we'll call her Sally. Sally has been to camp a couple times. Last year, I got the pleasure of watching Sally come into the doors for registration with a big smile on her face because she saw her camp grandma. And she was just so excited because she missed grandma and she wanted to see grandma. And it was an awesome moment. And then at the end of the week, it was very sad. And I didn't know this story had happened until this year at camp. So this made it even better for me. But She told our camp grandma, or the camp grandma, did something we never tell our volunteers to never do. Just so you know. She said, honey, you'll be back next year. It's fine. We never make those promises to our kids, but this is the moment that happened. And the kid said to her, grandma, I don't know where I'm going to be next year. And so it was like, oh my gosh. So I didn't know that story happened until we were already at camp, but here's what happened. So Amanda's in touch with Children's Services. Can you get us Sally's application? And the caseworker said, no. Sally can't come to camp this year. Sally's living in a group home in a residential facility. Sally is having screaming fits for 4 hours at least every single day. She's tearing her room apart. Sally's not coming to camp. And Amanda and I are like, what? Like, Sally has to come to camp. Like, I called the caseworker and I said, are we talking about the same Sally? Because Sally is a sweet, sweet girl at camp. And we know that this happens. You know, they come to camp. It's a completely different environment. We're not making them do chores. We're not making them, you know, follow behavior charts and all those things. So we're like, Sally has to come to camp. So legitimately, we went back and forth with Children's Services. And it wasn't Children's Services. I'm not trying to paint a bad picture about them. The therapist at the residential facility said no. And so the caseworker is kind of like the go-between. Well, the facility's saying no, and you guys are saying it. And I finally said, listen, Sally has been to camp. This is Sally's third year coming to camp. Like, we have to have Sally at camp. I will put another adult in her cabin. I didn't even tell her. Like, I don't think I told you that was happening. I said, we will have another adult in that cabin. If Sally is having a problem, we will make sure that other adult is taken care of. We will escort her back to the facility if we need to. We will take full responsibility for Sally. Like, we love Sally. We need Sally at camp. They finally said, what was it, like 2 days before camp, they're like, fine, Sally can come to camp. Like, stop asking us, Sally can come to camp, okay? Sally gets here for registration. I get the pleasure of walking Sally back to the back of the gym, which, by the way, this is the first year that we had registration here, and it was phenomenal. Jerry did so much. I know Jerry's like, you don't have to recognize me. Jerry coordinated so much. So, yes, Jerry Blue is awesome. Jerry, so I'm one of those people where I don't want to ask you to do something. I'm not going to personally come up to you. So if I do, I'm desperate, okay? So I don't ask that. If I need something, I'm just fine. Amanda and I are like, okay, the weekend of camp, we're like, we're just going to literally be working all day long. And Jerry would say, why don't you ask someone else to do this? And I'm like, I don't want to do that. So then Jerry would just say, I'm going to ask somebody else to do this. So Jerry was like, very much, like, so much that I needed for camp, and, like, she has no idea how awesome she is. So Jerry had a completely different role than anything else I'm going to say. Jerry was Jerry. So anyway, I'm walking Sally back to the back, and she's like, yeah, I'm like, really nervous. Like, this girl has screaming matches for 4 hours a day, so what am I going to see? So we're walking back, and I'm like, how are you doing, Sally? She's like, I'm good. I'm just really glad to be here. Great. I'm super glad that you're glad to be here. This is going to be awesome. So we go out to camp. She sees her counselor, who is now her counselor for 3 years in a row. And Sally starts crying. I said, Sally, what is wrong? I am just so happy to be here. Just so happy to be at camp. Sally seemed a little overwhelmed the first day or so. And then she was Sally. She was the girl that we had known and loved, and we were like just so overjoyed that Sally was at camp. And you know, it's like she had the best week, seriously. So Friday of camp, Sally and I are sitting outside of the lodge. She didn't want to participate in the large activity. We don't make them. So Sally and I get to have this moment. Sally, what do you want to be when you grow up? She said, I just really want to go home. So it was just such a touching thing where you're like, these kids, like our kids at camp, and it's awesome and it's amazing. They have a lot of stuff going on. So I've actually since found out that Sally is still at the facility. She's still having these screaming matches, and they cannot believe the stories that I told them about Sally at camp. So camp is awesome. Camp makes a huge difference. So 28 full-time staff people. Ben was a staff person. Amanda is a full-time staff person. Shania was a full-time staff person. You're going to hear from her later. 9 part-time. So Steve Garlow is a part-time staff person. Steve Garlow is one of those people who had to go to work. He went to work full shift, and then he comes out to camp. Like, how exhausting is that? But he was awesome. He was everything that we needed Steve to be. He was just with the kids. He went fishing with the kids. He had a great time with kids. It was awesome. I had one teenager volunteer who was great. 60 total volunteers who spent at least a day or more at camp. And a volunteer who had arranged for Monday and Tuesday off work on Monday morning before the kids got, like, literally I walk onto the campgrounds and he said, listen, I just called my boss and told him, I think you guys need me more. So I just took the rest of the week off unpaid. It was actually my brother-in-law too, which was really awesome because he's not like that. We had two out-of-state volunteers. Roger and Sandy Miller came back for camp. It was awesome. Last year for camp, I know I had 40-plus churches and organizations involved, and now we have even more. So I haven't done all that math yet. So 2019 and beyond, like, this is kind of still the boring stuff. We are actually into the steps of starting the club and mentoring program. What that will mean is that we take these kids to camp, and then we can identify a few kids, and we will have relationships with them the entire rest of the year, doing a mentoring and club program, and so it extends that relationship. So we believe a week makes a difference, but an entire school year is going to just be totally life-changing for some of these kids. So there are totally tons of volunteer opportunities, obviously, that open up when we do that. So if anything that you're going to hear today touches you, please let me know, because we could definitely use you. So we are going to first hear from Lisa. Lisa's going to share a little bit with us about her experience with camp and how God used her.
Hi.
So, there's a lot I could talk about, but I have a couple minutes, so I'm just going to keep it straight up. I didn't know the kids were going to be in here, some of them, so I'm going to do my best to be completely honest with you about the realness of these kids' troubles at camp, but I'm going to try to do my best to keep it appropriate for them. So, like she said, my cabin, I was supposed to be a staff member, which, whatever, I didn't really care what I did. So I had the privilege of, like she said, being an extra in the cabin. And at first I was like, oh man, I don't know about this, you know. But it was really cool because I didn't have my own specific kids in the cabin, so I got to focus on all of them. And I got to just enjoy them and not have to be completely with two, you know. So in our cabin we had Sally and a couple others that really stood out to me. And one of the stories is the girl, she slept above me on our bunks. And it's so emotional. So one night, the bunk was just shaking a lot, and I was like, I'm going to be sick. You know, like I was like on a cruise ship. I'm like, okay, stop moving. And I was kind of like, what is going on here? And it turned out that she was having a major nightmare. And it became very evident to me, because that's not normal to me that much. She was having a real issue. And then next thing I know, it turned out that she had wet the bed. And again, I'm sorry to be, you guys need to know the realness of this stuff. She had wet the bed. And so I got up another counselor, and there's three of us that were awake. And this is, I don't even know, like 2-3 in the morning. I don't know. And, you know, we just do our thing. Two of us took her to the restroom while one person strips the bed, gets it all cleaned up, puts new stuff on there, boom. So by the time we got back to the cabin, it's like nothing ever happened. And this counselor, she's like amazing. Like I would want her to be a nanny for my kids. I mean, and the girl had the same sheets. We happened to have the same kind of sheets there. So it's like to her, nothing changed. But she got to come back. She was taken care of. It wasn't made into a big deal. She wasn't yelled at. So this is the part I want to be very careful about. But she told us when we were in the bathroom, I'm sorry, I'm trying to, that she was afraid to tell because when she told her dad, she would get beat and thrown in the bathroom and told to sleep in there for the night. And I'm being as mild with my words as I can, but it's bad. And she was just, she was freaking out. And she said, she's like, I didn't want to tell. And we said, you know, you're safe here. You're allowed to tell. We're not going to do anything. And the next morning, she just gave me and our counselors a big hug, and she's like, thank you. You know, I'm like, she just, it's just amazing. There's more to that story, but I don't feel like I need to share that part. But the point is that this little girl was so used to being afraid to talk to anyone, too afraid to say hey, I went to bed, too afraid to not be perfect. And when we gave her the room to just say, hey, I went to bed, or hey, I'm struggling, she was attached to my hip a lot of the time, and she had her own counselor, but we connected on a different level. And she was so precious, and she was so loving, and so full of joy. She was just so sweet, and it makes me so, I'm just confused. You know, we think our lives are tough sometimes, and it's like we get grumpy, but these kids come out of such hell. You know, they come out of hell. I can stop preaching. And they smile throughout the week, and they encourage us, and they love on us, and they say thank you, and they've got manners. And not all of them are always that perfect acting, but the majority of them, they just break down, and they allow us in, and that's more than I have done a lot of my life. You know, we put our walls up, and we're hurt, and we let people stay out here. We don't let them in. But these kids let you in. And they trust us. That's a huge deal. And we're seeing spirit break out this morning. It's like heaven touching earth. To me, that is heaven touching them. You know, God uses us in our brokenness and our mess. And he let us be their safe place. And to me, that's what heaven should be. That's him. God is love, and we have to show them God. And so I could go on with stories, but just leave with they come from the worst places. And yet, they let us love them, and we got to be that for them. So I am encouraging any of you, if you want 1 hour with these kids, I don't care. Pray for them. Volunteer. I mean, this is not supposed to be a volunteer recruitment, but it changes us more than you would imagine. So I would just encourage you to get involved. Anyway, Justin, you're up next.
Morning. Just a couple of stories that I wanted to share. This year I had two boys. One of my boys was his first year, and my other boy, this was his third year with me as his counselor. So it was really cool to see him. Funny story, the one boy that is new this year, he was supposed to come last year. And I was really looking forward to meeting him, but he had something come up right before camp to where the doctors didn't clear him to come. So I was super happy to meet him this year and to have him be with me. But his name was Jimmy, and this kid, man, he was such an outgoing boy. Like, it was so funny because, like, I thought that he would, because, like, the first time I had my other boy, he was really shy for his year at camp. And Jimmy was just very outgoing, very energetic. He was like, I'm like, man, like, this kid is awesome. And so getting to know Jimmy, like, there was a lot of things that I didn't know his background, but I know that, like, when the other boys would pick on him, he would kind of shut down, and like he would try to hide himself, and then what would happen is he would start degrading himself, say, I have no friends, I am nobody, I'm not special. And I caught on to that really early, and I realized that all it took for Jimmy was just to kind of leave him alone, let him cool down a little bit. And there was a moment, I think it was the day of the birthday party. It was either that or the talent show, I can't remember. But one afternoon, the boys in the cabin were picking on him, and something had happened, and he just, like, totally shut down. And he grabbed his sleeping bag, and he hid in his sleeping bag. And the boys were getting ready to move on to lunch, and Jimmy would not want to come out. He was just having a fit. And so I grabbed one of the volunteers that was walking by. I said, hey, can you just stick with me here in the cabin? And It was so neat because, like, he was just hiding in his sleeping bag. You know, I'm trying to talk with him, and he just doesn't want to listen because he's just so emotional. And so me and Adam, the other volunteer that was with me, we just started in conversation with each other, knowing that he was listening to us. And so we're playing this game with him. And so me and Adam were in this conversation. Adam, I remember when I was in high school, and I remember when kids wouldn't pick on me because of things that I believed. They kind of poke fun at me and make fun of me. And I was like, oh, really? Well, what'd you do? I said, biggest thing I would do is I would ask God, give me strength. Help me through this. And I knew that he was listening. Like, he got real quiet. And it was so funny. And so we were looking. So we continued that conversation. And eventually I said, Jimmy, you still in there? Yeah. And so he started, as we began in conversation, we began to talk. And he said, you know, Jimmy, it sounds like you're going through what I used to go through. Would it be okay if we prayed with you? He's like, yeah. And so at first, he didn't want us. He said, he allowed us to pray with him. But then he said, can I pray? And I said, sure. And so we're like, go ahead. And so he's like, no, you guys can't be in here. So me and Adam went out the door, and we had the door cracked. And he was still in his sleeping bag, so he couldn't see us watching him. He was under his sleeping bag, and 30 seconds go by. He's really quiet. Jimmy slowly gets out of the sleeping bag, and he looks, and we come in. Jim, is it okay to come in? Yep. So we come back in, and he's all better. And it was just such an amazing thing where it's like, just to show him the love of God and be an encouragement to him was just amazing for me. And I was scared because he was still a little bit emotional, and still I was really scared that he might want to do what the other kids were doing. But after a little bit, he was fine. He just jumped right in, and it was just really cool experience for me just to know that I am an encouragement to them, and that they're listening and they listen to when you're sharing. So that was one of my, probably my favorite experiences, is knowing that he's listening and he knows. So I think that was really cool. So yep. And next is Shania.
Shania, Mom, stop. I'm Shania Jordan, and a few years ago, I was a camper, and it made an impact on my life that I always said that when I turned 18, I was going to go back and volunteer and make an impact on and make an impact on people's lives like they did for me. And I always remember the people, like I go out to Walmart and still see my old counselor, and I see many people still volunteering that when I was a kid. It's always amazing to see how the little girls, we spend time with the little girls, how they cling on to Jesus, how they listen to what we actually say to them. And Thursday when we went out fishing, I went with two little girls, their sisters, one's older, and she sat with me and watched her little sister fish because she didn't want to fish. And she couldn't catch anything. We were out there for a while, and we were getting hot, and she wanted to give up. And her older sister said, let's pray. And we prayed. The little sister eventually caught four fish. And she looked at me and said, it's because we prayed. And now I know that she's going to pray whenever she has a problem. And that'll probably be something I'll always remember. And I'll definitely be back next year.
I don't know why I have to follow that. So at camp this year, I got to do a new role for me. I get to be the dean of men, which is kind of the guy that's in charge of the counselors, the male counselors, and the kids. And I'm telling you, I think it's probably been my most fun, exhausting, worst role I've ever had. But as part of that, every day, it was the Dean of Women, we got to share a devotion with the counselors during the counselor meeting. And this is one of them that before we went to camp, I forgot I was supposed to do that and didn't prepare anything. So I laid in bed the night before, and kind of one of our themes this year was through the book of Nehemiah. So I just started reading. I thought, God, you got to give me something here. So, because I got to share it, it's got to be really good, God. So please help me do that. So I'm going to share that with you guys. Because to be very honest with you, I think this is probably the most awesome thing I've ever heard from God. Just in all honesty. Nehemiah chapter 2. And I'm going to read it out of the Message version. Not because I love the Message, but because I love the way the Message says this verse. Nehemiah chapter 2, in the beginning of Nehemiah, he's inspecting a wall, the wall that's torn down. He's in Jerusalem, the wall's a mess. And he's riding his donkey around, and he's looking at this wall that is a mess. And he has now come back to the people that are going to help him rebuild. And this is what he says. And I'm going to start in verse 17 of Nehemiah chapter 2. Then I gave them my report. Face it, we're in a bad way here. Jerusalem is a wreck. Its gates are burned up. Come, let us build a wall of Jerusalem and not live with this disgrace any longer. I told them how God was supporting me and how the king was backing me up. So this is what we do at camp. This is what we do. Kids are in a bad way. Their walls have been torn down. They live with parents who don't love them. Some of them. Some of them live with parents who absolutely love them but don't know how to take care of them. Some of them have never met a father or a mother. Some of them's fathers are in prison. Some of them are thrown against a wall for doing whatever it is they do. And this is their life. They live in Jerusalem with no walls, and it's torn down, and they're in a bad way. And we set out to rebuild it. Oh, goodness. Anyway. Let's build the wall with Jerusalem, and let's not live with this disgrace any longer. I told them how God was supporting us and how the king was backing me up. They said, we're with you. Let's get started. And this is all the people that volunteer for us. We're with you. Let's get started. Here you go. Let's do it. Let's build this wall. So they rolled up their sleeves, and they got ready to work. And these are the people that I love and adore who come to this camp. My family, royal family, kids. I don't know if a lot of you noticed it on the commissioning ceremony Sunday, but the people that we all sat with, I haven't seen for 51 weeks after camp, a lot of them. And the minute they walk in, we pick up right where we left off as family. It's like you've just left them last week. So if you want to be part of that, that'd be cool. Anyway, when Samuel, the Hornonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, heard about this, they laughed at us. They were mocking, huh, what do you think you're going to do? Do you think you can cross the king? And this is a lot of people in the world who think, do 5 days really make a difference? We've heard that. Does 5 days really do anything? It's 5 days. These kids are terrible. 5 days isn't going to do anything. And this is their parents. This is the people they see on a daily basis. You're worthless. What do you think you're doing? Do you think you can cross the king? This is the devil. This is what he wants. He wants to keep them in those situations. He wants to keep them failing. He wants them to grow up and be just like their parents, which is what everybody has told them. This is going to be a generational curse on you. This is going to keep going. That's what he wants out of this. That's what a lot of people want out of this. And I shot right back, and this is my favorite verse in the whole thing. And this is why I read it out of the Message. The God of heaven will make sure we succeed. We're his servants. We're doing his work. We're rebuilding. You can keep your nose out of it. You get no say in this. Jerusalem is none of your business. So anyway, that's what we're doing with kids at camp. And that's what I say to the people who ask, do 5 days make a difference? That's what I say to people who think, well, you're just going to end up in prison. I don't even know why you're worried about it. That's what I say to people who want to know if it even matters. You know, if only one kid matters, does $40,000 a year really matter to spend on all those kids? And I say, this is none of your business. I'm going to keep doing this. Jerusalem's none of your business. Keep your nose out of it. We're going to just keep going, and we're going to keep impacting lives.
So, now I get to follow that. So, as Ben said, Nehemiah was a staple for us this year. We have different themes every year. And so this year was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And so we got to teach that to the kids. And we got to talk to them about building on a firm foundation. And what does that mean? And what does that look like? So Nehemiah was our entire theme for the week, which is so funny how that works. Like, Nehemiah was a theme, Jeremiah 29:11 is a verse, but I don't understand all that. So then I get to help do devotions with the staff. And so I wanted to share with you what I see as my staff role, but also what I see as your role. This is our sponsoring church. So this is what you guys are doing. Not the first part. Okay. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he exploded in anger, vilifying the Jews. That is not you guys. In the company of his Samaritan cronies and military, he let loose. What are these miserable Jews doing? Do they think they can get everything back to normal overnight? Does 5 days really make a difference? Make building stones out of make-believe. So then fast forward to, well, it's just a couple verses down, but. So I stationed armed guards at the most vulnerable places of the wall and assigned people by families with their swords, lances, and bows. After looking things over, I stood up and spoke to the nobles, officials, and everyone else. Don't be afraid of them. Put your minds on the master, great and awesome, and then fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Fight for the children of Marian. Fight for the Shanias. As much as Shania's story means to me, Melinda's story means a lot more. God's grace is bigger than just us. It's bigger than just the kids. We are trying to reach an entire family. We are trying to change a community. And you guys had such a major impact in that. So I wanted you to hear firsthand how thankful we are. You got to hear some of the stories. I'm going to share another story, and I wanted you to hear from the kids. So we had a day where we had, we have visitors at camp all the time. And if you ever wanted to come visit camp and see the random things that we do, we might put you in a dunk tank and you'd love it. But we have a lot of visitors come out. And so on Thursday at camp, when they were fishing, I got the pleasure of escorting my friends from Children's Services. I don't know if you guys know I used to work there, but so I get the pleasure of taking them around, and I'm going to leave the name out of this. It was not Lisa Mendoza in this conversation. But in her defense, she came up to me. She said, something really stupid happened, but it was really good. Okay. So I come up in the golf cart because I'm apparently known for the golf cart with my friends. And one of the kids asked Lisa, and truthfully, like, these kids can read, and one of them was wearing a shirt that says Marion County Children's Services. And one of the kids said, who's that? Because we tell them, like, we don't let just anybody come and see you. Like, we're here to keep you safe. And so we are going to make sure you're safe. If you see someone you don't know, or they're not wearing a name tag, you can ask, who are you? Dina's niece comes out on Thursday morning with Dina, but Dina wasn't there yet, and she's standing there doing what she was supposed to be doing, but I had no idea, and so I went up to her and was like, who are you? You know, because this is my job. I'm here to keep these kids safe. And so it was really good, and she was very gracious, and she was kind of like, listen, I'm supposed to be here. Okay, that's great. So anyway, so Thursday, we roll around with Children's Services, and one of the kids says to Lisa, who's that? And she said, oh, they're from Children's Services. She's wearing the shirt that says Children's Services. Now, Lisa's like, I shouldn't have said that. Well, you know, they can read. So, but the girl looked at her and said, are they here to take somebody? So that was a reality moment for us. And we're like, oh my gosh. Then the next day, the last day, we do these letters with the kids, Dear God letters and what I like about camp. And so this is the first thing you're going to hear from a camper. Dear God, I love you, God, because you took away the mean people from me, and that is why I love you, God. So while that was a moment for us, and obviously, like, for me, I initially went to, oh, my gosh, that was horrible, right? Like, that's how they're associating it. But really, sometimes, who are they going to take away? Well, that's because they also see this as a protection, and so we're so thankful for that. Dear God, thank you for taking all the bad things and handling it and letting me have fun. I love you, God. Dear God, thank you for taking me, talking to me, and I love you so much. Love you, God. Dear God, I hope you have good plans for everyone. Dear God, I love this one. Dear God, I love you because I really love you. I so, so love you, God. Thank you for everything. I love you. Why I like Royal Family Kids Camp. I love learning about God and singing. Lean, dab, hit the devil, make him mad. Getting to meet new people and meeting Rebecca. Rebecca was a counselor. So I guess just to kind of wrap this up, thank you. All of these stories would not have been possible if it weren't for you guys. You helped clothe the kids. You helped feed them. You helped give them water. You did all of those things that Jesus said to do. Whether you were at camp or not, you were a part of that. And you're a part of that story. You're a part of their story in changing the cycle of abuse and neglect. And so we are so thankful. We're so thankful we can share this moment with you and share all these stories with you. And I cannot tell you the feedback that I heard from all of our volunteers, how so excited they were about how excited you were at the commissioning ceremony. And they were just like, this was amazing. And it was everything that we needed then to launch into that week and to just be filled and ready to just pour out onto those kids. And so I can't say it enough, but thank you. And thank you for everything that you do for camp. And if you have any desire to do anything more, whether it's just say another prayer for another person, I will give you a name. We'll be working with these kids now starting next year all year round. So we can definitely use prayer. We can use money, obviously, and always people, always people. So thank you. That's it. So thank you, and I'll give this to you.